This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Scott Abraham, ABC7 Sports Director and Anchor, will join us coming up at 9:20. But our judges are getting in place. We need to judge the steaks that were cooked down in the alley over the last 15 or 20 minutes. Roger, the engineer, is in studio with us. He's got his blindfold ready to go. JP is semi-blindfolded. I believe Tailgate Ted will also be doing the judging, so they will be making their way in here shortly to get these steaks judged and figure out who the winner of the Great American Steak Off is.
All right, somebody's in there cheating. All right,
who's cheating?
I don't know. Are we on Instagram Live right now?
Yes, live. I think Mike Marr still has it on IG Live. He's microwaving, I believe.
By the way, he's microwaving the mac and cheese. He got it at, like, Wegmans.
I know. He goes, wait till you see my secret weapon. And he's got macaroni and cheese.
Bought macaroni and cheese that some $6 an hour employee made.
And it's not even some part factory. Of the contest. It's a steak contest.
With like fake cheese.
It's not a sides contest.
Right.
Like people are just,
it's not a sides contest.
People are losing their minds here.
Yeah.
Is what's fine. Happening.
You know what? Sides can be for after.
Yeah. I'm confident in my steak.
Do you have a protest? You filing a protest?
No.
It's ridiculous. It also IDs your steak, especially Valdez's. But that's good. It might backfire. Might backfire.
Yeah, maybe they're test. Allergic to shellfish.
Maybe they just think that you're a cheater, and they're going to hold it against you.
You're going to do cheater, pumpkin eater.
So I guess, all right, we have blindfolds. Roger has a blindfold.
Yes, he does.
Found
Roger,
some bags.
Do you have, by the way, because you're not going to know who, do you have a leader in the clubhouse? Like, did you like any of the steaks when you saw the way they were being grilled?
You know, they all looked kind of similar, you know?
Right. Did any of us impress you?
The buttery... You know, the seasoning, yeah.
How many of the guys' names could you name?
Yeah, do you know my name, Roger?
Yeah.
What's my name?
Yeah.
Eric?
Yeah.
Hey, you got it. What about that guy over there?
Right. About that.
Yeah, about that.
Well, yeah,
he's not as important. I get it. What about this guy?
Yeah,
Cakes. Yeah. You don't know that guy's name?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jay.
Jay.
JP. Oh, he got it. Yes. He got it. All right. All right, here we go. All right, Tailgate.
Tailgate Ted is making his way in.
Tailgate got all skinny. He's playing pickleball.
Yeah, he's pickleball king.
All right.
He's got his B. Mitch for Hall of Fame t-shirt.
Yeah, very good. I like it. Tailgate. Now, you're not going to know whose steak is whose. Thank God, because I've been teasing him about his greasy van and his grill.
Hey, he does a lot of hard work in that.
Were you impressed with anyone's grilling techniques or seasoning techniques or anything?
I don't think I've ever seen someone season something as much as you.
Yes.
I mean, it just kept coming and coming. It was,
you know,
ridiculous.
Why? This is, I like, probably, maybe it'll hurt me. I like a lot of flavor, but... Mm-hmm. When you put it on the grill, you lose all the seasoning. It all seems to fall off. Like, I like it on there.
I don't blame you, but Mar getting butter out of a Ziploc bag, that's a new one. Yeah.
It was like the tub of butter that you scoop out of. It wasn't like a stick of butter.
Yeah. Did he run out
margarine
or something?
Yeah, he's using margarine.
I know. I wasn't going to share. I mean, what, is he a dope?
I know.
I mean, geez.
I didn't even want to share tongs.
Right.
Like, if you forgot your tongs.
Do you think in a bikini contest they'd share push-up bras?
Tailgate brought plenty of equipment for everybody to use, so thanks again to him.
Yeah,
that's very nice.
It is very nice. Cakes wants to make sure I haven't insulted you too much.
You know, thanking him for coming out.
He knows I'm teasing. All right.
All right, you guys need to put your masks down. They're going to start bringing the steaks in.
All right, I also have one. We've got some bags.
I don't even understand them. The mask. It's so dumb.
Okay. I have no idea what steak is happening.
It doesn't matter. I like it.
Do you feel like Timmy from the Palm right now?
We said heading into this
that lobster's on special.
That it was going to be a blind taste test.
All right.
And what better way to make everybody blind than use a blindfold?
We've got to use our hands.
No, use your hands.
Use your fingers. Right.
Come on, be a man.
You're going to eat it like a man.
All right, fork. All right, this is steak number one. All the judges are.
No, you're using your hands, Roger. Just stuff it in. You've done that before. Okay. Do you know where your mouth is?
It's called a finger food, Roger.
Ready to try now?
Yeah, try.
Go ahead.
Just try. Yeah. All right.
All right, so the judges are trying.
You got to go to Instagram Live or Monumental.
This is piece of steak number one. We're not sure who it's from.
All right, I've finished my whole piece. I'll say that first one's flavorful.
Okay.
A little tough. A little tough in terms of chewing.
All right.
I'm gonna stick with round numbers as best as possible. I'm giving that one an 8.
Oh, so you're who's doing the math? It right now? Okay.
Who's doing the math? We need to get the scores in.
Hold on. All right.
I can. I'm not the guy that should be doing the math, but I can.
All right.
All right. So number one.
I actually think they're biasing each other. They should write down their scores. Okay, because your score affects them.
Okay.
I don't think it does.
Huh?
You should be able to say
that. All right, go ahead. What do you, tailgate, what do you think?
An 8 out of 10? No.
I gave
no
it an 8 out of 10.
There's no chance. I think it was way too chewy. It's not something I would have if I was eating at a restaurant. I'd probably send that back. I'm
120 degree grill.
Hey. I mean, well, if that was yours, well, it can't be yours because it wasn't seasoned. So I'm going to say 5.
Oh, so Ted is in for the 5 on piece of steak number one. Roger, the engineer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Roger? Just describe it, then give us a score.
The taste is subdued. You know, it's pretty good. It's not too bad. Just a little bit. To me, it's undercooked, but
you like them well done.
All right.
You like a shoe leather. That's what you like.
I didn't get any taste of searing or anything like that.
Mm. All right. So what do you want to give it on a scale of 1 to 10? Or you can actually give it a 0. Could be a 0.
Like a 3?
A 3.
Oh, wow.
Or 8 to 5?
Is it 1 to 5?
When I tell you he doesn't have a discerning palate?
No.
Give it an 8.
No, no, it's 0 to 10 is the scale.
Oh, 0 to 10, not 0 to 5. Okay.
Yeah, 0 to 10.
Oh, okay.
You care to change that?
No. I would say 0 to 10. What do you think?
7.
7.
So you go from a 3 to a 7.
All right. I don't understand the guy. This is what I'm talking about.
All right, so JP gave it an 8. Ted gives it a 5.
All right, next one. Go ahead.
Start
you can just serve,
yeah,
yeah. Just serve it up.
Hold on, we can 2. Do 7. The math there. Let's
20.
Case his math.
Don't worry about it.
He it's can 20. I got either. Cakes. I got it.
I know, I but cakes is shaky on math.
I feel like this is tainting it, but okay, just go.
No, that's how they do it with Dancing with the Stars. They say it out loud. Boom.
All right. You understand this is going to haunt us for
eating with
years.
The stars.
Yeah, eating. All right, piece of steak number 2 is currently being brought into the studio. I believe Ted and Roger are actively chewing. Roger has a really hard time putting the steak into his mouth while being blindfolded.
I've
never seen such a thing. Hey, don't influence the other judges. Just give a score. Eat it, zip it, and give a score.
I'm not allowed to comment?
I mean, you can give comment after you've...
Don't
after
guess you've, on who you think it is.
Right. Don't sway anybody on whose you might... You think it might be.
This one was easier to chew, in my opinion.
This is steak number 2.
But for me, too much happening. I'll give it a 6.
All right, JP's in with a score of 6. Ted, piece of steak number 2.
I'm going to agree with JP. It was definitely easier to eat. It wasn't as chewy as the last one. There was a nice flavor to it.
Okay.
I'm trying to pinpoint what that flavor was. I kind of got a feeling. But I'm going to go 6 as well.
All right, 6, okay? So we got
that's better
sixes.
Than your first score. See, I actually like the first one better. You like this one better.
Well, the first one tasted like jerky.
Yeah.
Hey, we gotta make sure Drab's cutting the right part of the steak.
I know.
Is he taking like the filet part of the T-bone?
Uh-oh. Here come the excuses.
I talked to him about
that. All right, Roger, now give us your score for
think,
piece
Roger?
Of steak number 2.
Steak number 2 has good, really nice flavor to it, and I would push it up to a 9, I think.
Ooh. Whoa. Wow. Flavortown. You took him to Flavortown.
Wow. I think we all know whose steak
so
that
was.
So
we got a 6, a 6, and a 9 for a piece of steak number 2.
All right, go ahead. Next one. Here we go.
All right, of course, the judges are blindfolded.
They are, yes.
I think this is still on our Instagram page.
The esteemed panel.
Sports Junkies Radio.
All right, Drab is now, with his black gloves on, serving everybody the steak. Piece of steak number 3 in front of the judges. Commence chewing.
Mm.
Good bit, Kate.
Thank you. Good I bit. Appreciate that.
Good bit.
Judges are actively chewing as we speak. All right, this is piece of steak number 3.
I'll say this. They're taking it seriously, especially Roger. I'm impressed with
as
Roger.
As they should. I mean, this is a very serious contest.
Maybe we should have had some wine, like red wine, for in between.
Red.
Because the taste.
You need a palate cleanser.
We're not cleansing our palates. Right.
I wish I had a stogie when we were at the grill.
Yeah.
I feel like a man.
Yeah. Right. I know. So, booze.
I'll let one of the other judges start off this time.
I need a bourbon.
Ted, do you want to start off on piece of steak number 3?
So steak number 3, I think I've liked the most because you can actually taste that it's steak.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The second one was a little too overseasoned for me. 3, I'm going to give, let's say 7.
Okay, 7. So that is Ted's highest score so far. He gives piece of steak number 3 a 7.
Go ahead, Roger. You go second.
I shouldn't have joned on him so much. It's coming back to haunt me.
This one's similar to the last one, and it's
the first, but not even close to the first one, though, right? The first one was dreadful.
Right, but this one's right up in the 10 zone.
Wow.
Whoa. 10 out of 10?
Hold on, just give your final number. What's your final number?
Yeah. That's it.
What?
10.
Dude, he's licking his fingers. He was licking his fingers.
10 out of 10. Fingers.
All right, JP, piece of steak number 3. We got a 10 from Roger, a 7 from Tailgate 10.
All right, I couldn't disagree with Roger more. Ooh, good. I think it actually was not similar to the second steak.
Ooh.
The second steak, as Tailgate Ted said, was super seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
This one, a little less seasoned. Not as tough as the first one. Kind of a similar vibe. I'll give this one a 7.
All right, so we have 7, 7, and 10 for piece of steak.
I just lost.
Number 3. All right, here comes the final piece of steak in the Junkies Great American Steak Off. Drab T-shirt is delivering the steak to the esteemed blindfolded panel.
Have you guys noticed anything about the way people chew? Are we chewing weird?
I have not. I have noticed that Roger has a hard time getting the steak into his mouth.
He has a hard time getting the fingers to the mouth.
Yeah.
He has to sneak a peek through the blindfold.
It's like he doesn't even know where to eat.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. It's bizarre human behavior.
He's also eating with his mouth open, like my Uncle George does.
Roger, why don't you lead off with your score this time? This kind of rotate.
By the way, you want Roger scoring you because he's given a 10, a 9, and a 7 so far. And he gets high scores.
I like
This one gets, this is very similar to the one just before it and a little more seasoning.
Everything's similar to him.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's a little bit a notch up above that, and I already rated a 10, so it's a 10.
Okay.
Oh, 2 10. Wow.
Man.
It was a 10 plus.
Man. I wish you were grading some of my papers in high school and college.
Yeah, 10 plus. Okay.
All right, so let's go to Tailgate Ted. He gave the last piece of steak a 7. What are you giving piece of steak number 4?
I want to give it a 9, but I like my steaks medium rare. But this was the best one out of them all.
Well, so you're saying it was too well done?
This was more medium.
Okay.
It wasn't medium rare plus. But, I mean, that's just because you guys are, cooking with the elements out there. It's a little tougher. So I'm going to have to go with an 8 on this one. It had some good flavor. You could tell it was a steak, not something that just had a dozen things poured on top of it. So I'm going to go with an 8.
All right, so Ted with an 8. Roger there with a 10. JP, you need to round out the scoring for steak number 4.
I think this was my favorite. I agree with Ted. Tasted like a steak.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much going on there. It was easy to eat. I'll give it a 9.
A 9. Oh. All right.
This didn't work out well for me.
How do you know?
Because I know.
You just know.
Which one do you think you were?
2.
The overseasoned.
The one that tasted like a
Nobo. I'm taking off my blindfold.
Take off your blindfold,
All right.
All right, so am I just reading the scores now?
Start in 4th place.
Drum roll.
Drum roll. Here we go. In 4th place. Hopefully my math is good. Steak number 1 with 20 points. In 3rd place, steak number 2 with 21 points.
Second, you got to say who's who.
I don't know who's who at this point.
Oh, okay.
2nd place with a total of 24 points was steak number 3.
And the winner is whoever cooked steak number four with a grand total of 27 points. Steak number four is your winner.
All right, let's start with last. Let's start with last. So yeah, who cooked steak
there's already,
number one?
There's already a controversy. Nobody even knows whose steak is who because everyone it went from first to last in order of
okay, but
the
steak
best one
number
being
one
last.
Was who? The first steak you brought
in. Yeah, I understand. I'm telling
you
the details.
What are you saying, Dippy? Let him
I'm saying let's start with steak
I'm saying these guys
one.
Are already complaining. They don't even know which steak they are.
Okay. Why don't you, we're going to unveil it. Steak number one, which scored 20 points.
Who does everybody think had the worst steak?
I really have no idea.
Cakes, only because he
Cakes.
Said. Cakes. I'm only saying it because Cakes had like...
He wasn't very confident.
Yeah, he had confidence.
I think it might be...
Zero confidence.
No, steak number one, I think, could be Mike Marr.
Steak number one, the worst steak out of the bunch? John Allville.
I'm psyched. At least I wasn't last.
I kind of, I liked yours more than I liked number two. But let's find out which one is number
All
two.
Right. Number two.
I know it's me.
The overseasoned steak.
There's a lot.
A lot of seasoning.
Mike Marr.
Whoa, Mike Marr. Evie
wow.
just got sized.
So it's
I'm
down to Valdez.
I'm in the running.
And Eric Mickle.
I'm down to Frazier. So you know what happened? To my theory is correct. That when you see, you know, you lose a lot of seasoning on there. That's why I do it.
Well, yeah. Think about the overseasoning. He was taking all that grease and butter and mm-hmm. throwing it on top.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
wasn't paying attention to him.
All right. I was watching.
Okay, yeah. Just to confirm with your numbers,
yes.
Right? The last steak that was brought in is the winner. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, steak number three
That's
got
correct.
A 24.
Yeah.
Steak number four got a 27.
That is correct.
Are we announcing the winner? Or
yeah, we're going to announce the winner right now. The winner of the Junkies 2024 Steak Challenge is...
Oh, this is horrible news. He wins the PB&J and the steak off? That's going to be insufferable. This is terrible.
Wasn't even close.
This is the worst outcome.
I liked your steak, EB.
Thank you.
I like the first steak, though, too. I like Kansas steak.
You know what? Rigged. EB wins. Everybody else loses. Everyone else loses.
I mean,
Ted, are you surprised?
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised. Considering how much stuff he was throwing on top of that thing and how much joning he was getting my girl.
Mm-hmm. Roger, I think, gave you a 10 plus, EB.
Thank you. Just please stop doubting me.
Hey, this is under protest. Mine wasn't served with crab and béarnaise.
All right, I didn't need that crab and béarnaise. Mm-hmm. All I needed was the meat and my special sauce. And y'all joan on adobo. Adobo is silly.
Hey, now that I came in last place, Venmo me the money for the steaks, bitches. Ship it the chips.
You know what this is? This is just like when they snatch Rom's tip.
It is
the hotel.
Like that.
He's bitter.
EB, he keeps saying he's not bitter about peanut butter and jelly, but the guys brought it up over and over
kidding.
And over again.
You guys don't need to pay me, but hey, I mean, last place is an outrage.
So Valdez came in second.
I came in second.
Nice job. Nice. So Marr was third.
Marr was third.
You beat Cakes. You know what? You outperformed what I thought.
His was. It had so much going on.
Oh yeah.
What did you do
right?
to ruin
I mean,
your steak?
How much stuff did you put on
he
there?
Slathered margarine all over.
A lot of seasoning.
Give us the seasonings you used.
So a lot of it was Grill Mates, like apple maple wood, like this bourbon, some bourbon one that I found at Harris Teeter, and then salt, pepper.
I know that makes no sense.
You're an idiot.
How many spices did you throw on there?
Like three or four.
I mean,
yeah, that's what I could taste.
So much.
It was I did five spices, but they don't. Counteract each other.
Yeah. His had a lot.
He was
going
soaking
on.
It in juice
Hold
out
up.
There on the
Take
table.
Take a taste. Can you give a taste to EB of Mike Marsh?
Yeah, I need
quick.
To taste your steak.
Yeah, taste each other's steak.
You're gonna joan on it.
You guys don't have to taste mine. Mine was the last place.
I think Ted brought
you
up
knew,
something because
you seriously.
I knew I wasn't gonna
Ted,
perform well.
Ted brought up something which I think is a valid point, which probably helped you with
which
Roger the most. I think EB's was more towards the medium side, right?
Yeah, it was more towards the medium
it
side.
It doesn't
definitely.
Even look appetizing to me.
Which one is this, Mike Marr?
Yeah, get some salmonella.
Yeah. Hey, I have a theory. My theory is that
Drat's
so
Cakes,
in love with Eric.
Big Cakes tried because that beat Cakes. I gave yours.
This beat my steak.
Oh, you guys showed, but Cakes, I gave you a 7, I believe, or an 8.
I mean, what are you doing over there, man? It tastes like chili.
We should see all of them. All of them is a show out there.
I mean, it tastes like chili.
I don't know what you're doing. You know why you lost to that? Because Ted gave you a 5. I gave you an 8, Cakes.
It's fun.
Hey, actually, yours was the second best.
Valdez, go ahead.
I really think Drab is in love with you so much that I'm willing to bet. He took the filet side and gave everyone else the strip side.
How dare you?
I didn't even cut him. Tailgate cut him.
This is an outrage.
So I'm without blame.
Recount.
Thank you. Hey, seriously.
Oh, my God. That looks so disgusting.
Dude, that's going to make me puke.
It didn't even look.
How did Cakes lose to that?
I don't even know.
In retrospect,
hold on.
Tailgate Ted, because I respect your palate. Cakes was the very first one. You hoard him because you gave him a 5.
It was too chewy. I mean, it felt like eating a piece of
rubber.
Look, you have to be honest.
No, I'm not offended at all. You gave your honest grade. That's what we were asking of the judges.
He might have had a bad cut. It was a little tough.
It's fine.
Man, seriously, this might be my greatest victory.
It's a crowning achievement. This is your
bag. Oh, my God. That back padding machine is on overdrive.
This might be my greatest victory.
This is your Mona Lisa right here.
This might be my greatest.
Divas right, and steak.
Coming up next, we're going to get into Commanders, Panthers. Scott Abraham from ABC 7 joins us here on The Junkies. Welcome back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. I saw somebody tweeted this question, EB.
All right.
What was more fulfilling, breaking 80 recently or winning the stakeoff?
When I buried that last putt to shoot 79, it felt exactly like winning that stake contest. it was identical feeling.
Mm-hmm. The thrill of victory.
Yeah. Thrill of victory, especially because the way you guys are describing the overseasoning, I thought, oh, for
sure.
You're
vindicated. You're vindicated. Yeah,
but I didn't realize that Mar was so dumb.
Did you try one of my Mar's pieces?
No, I tried it. It was disgusting.
Yeah. How did that not finish last?
I don't know. I lost to that. I have to live with that
did
now.
Did you try it?
I did.
Yeah,
and it wasn't great.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna feed what I cooked to my dog when I go over. Because that's where it should go.
All right. Honestly. Scott Abraham has waited patiently. Sorry, Scott, for having you on
apologize,
late.
Apologize, buddy.
Boys, how do I follow the stake off? My goodness, this is a tough act to follow. And by the way, Rogers must see TV. I was watching on the IG Live.
Yes.
I got to get him on my show. ASAP.
Yeah. No, he's a phenomenal star. He's a superstar.
Yeah, I'll break down the bills for you.
No doubt. That was the biggest revelation of that whole bit you guys did, Rogers.
Yeah. Well, we've known him for a while, but yeah.
He's special. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you for sharing him to the world.
Of course. We need to do it more.
So the Commanders are 8 to 9 point favorites, depending on where you look.
Yep.
It's the most that they've been favored at home since 20-17. Since 2017, prohibitive favorites here. Looks like the offense is rolling. Should be an easy win. But give us the status on Brian Robinson. We obviously know they lost Jonathan Allen this week. What's the health status right now?
B-Rob is going to go, in my estimation, and I think everybody on the beat believes that as well. We talked to him on Wednesday, very encouraged. He's been out there practicing He's going to be out there on Sunday. I think the big question mark is going to be Dorrance Armstrong. He did not practice on Wednesday, did not practice on Thursday. So he's dealing with that injury right now. So I'll be surprised if Dorrance plays. But other than that, you know, Luvu and Wagner, they had a kind of veteran rest day yesterday. They're both going to play. So for the most part, I think it's just going to be Dorrance Armstrong monitoring.
What's the plan for, I mean, you don't replace Jonathan Allen. I mean, the guy's a leader. He's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler, but they have to replace him somehow. I saw your interview with Johnny Newton. He seems like a very capable and eager young kid. But again, he's a rookie. He's not going to bring you the same sort of production as Jonathan Allen. What does that plan look like? Newton and who else? Is it Mathis in a rotation there?
Yeah, so, I mean, thank goodness they had some depth at the defensive tackle spot, because going in you had Payne, Allen, Fedarian Mathis, and Johnny Newton. They drafted Johnny Newton, obviously, in the draft with the second-round pick, and it's going to be Deron Payne and then the rotational pieces of a Johnny Newton and Fedarian Mathis going on Sunday. And, you know, they drafted Johnny Newton in that second-round pick for a reason. Remember, he was pegged to be a first-round pick, but he was dealing with that foot injury that made him kind of slide down to the second round, and he was just a beast in the Big Ten. And they think there's going to be no drop-off. Johnny believes there's going to be no drop-off either. He's excited about the opportunity. You know, as you mentioned, we talked to him on Wednesday, and he knows he has a big opportunity, and there's a lot of pressure, per se, on him to kind of fill the void of a Jonathan Allen, who's a Pro Bowl-type player. And, you know, Carolina, they're going to want to run the football. Chuba Hubbard, very underrated running back. I think he's had four straight games of at least 90 yards, so they've been trying to play a little bully ball in Carolina, of really trying to establish the run, take some pressure off Andy Dalton. So I think priority number one for Washington on Sunday is going to try to stop that run with Chuba Hubbard.
Scott, did you get a sense of relief at all this week from the defense that, look, this week we don't have to chase around Lamar Jackson. We don't have to track down, even though he wasn't effective against them, Kyler Murray. There's no real threat of a run from Andy Dalton. It's a different sort of quarterback approach. Does it seem like that's just easier for them? They can get more of a pass rush on him because he doesn't have the escapability of those other players they've faced.
Absolutely, guys. You know, those dual threat quarterbacks, those dynamic type quarterbacks, they just put so much pressure on a defense. And when you have an Andy Dalton that doesn't really necessarily move around too well as a pocket passer, much easier for a defensive line blitz to get home. And, you know, it was interesting to listen to defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. yesterday. He basically pegged four plays that really were the difference in that game on Sunday. And it came down to communication with that Ravens loss. And I think for the most part, they were encouraged with the way they played. But, you know, they let Zay Flowers do his thing, and there's some communication breakdowns. They get that cleaned up against Carolina. And Carolina's really banged up as well. I mean, Deontay Johnson, their wide receiver, hasn't practiced all week. He's questionable to play on Sunday. So in terms of a get-right spot and maybe a smash spot, there's no reason why Washington should not win this game going away. Carolina defense is atrocious. They've given up at least 34 points in three straight games, where the Washington offense has scored at least 34 points in three of the last four games. So there's no reason why Washington can't score at will against Carolina, and it's going to come down to the Washington defense doing their part, getting some stops, getting some turnovers.
Scott, your best guess at this point, do we see Manny Forbes and or Jamin Davis in this game Sunday?
I'm going to see Manny.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they're, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I think they're very happy with their cornerback situation, where Noah I has been stepping up and doing well, and then Benjamin St. Juice. And then, you know, maybe you see a Jamin because of the injury to Dorrance. So because he could be in that, you know, pass rush, that hybrid type mode. So maybe a Jamin. I don't think you'll see an Emmanuel Forbes. I mean, I just think that ship has sailed, guys.
Wow.
It might have sailed in terms of his future, but if you believe Dan Quinn at all, and I know coaches just say anything, I think that they haven't been thrilled with him, but they wanted a little heavier package to deal with Derrick Henry. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
And maybe it's a reset, too. Maybe it's, again, you sit him down for a week, you kind of, you know, collect his thoughts and do those teaching moments. And they're still very positive with Emmanuel Forbes when he was asked about Emmanuel, during the press conference on Wednesday. So I just think in terms of depth chart-wise, Emmanuel Forbes is definitely not top two, top three cornerback right now for this team.
So Deontay Johnson has been a pretty pivotal piece for this Carolina Panthers offense. He didn't practice yesterday. Are the Commanders preparing for him to be there on Sunday or not? Because if he doesn't practice today, most likely he just doesn't go on Sunday.
Yeah, right. No, they're preparing like he's going to play. And they were in Joe Wood Jr. was very complimentary of Deontay Johnson during his press conference yesterday. Basically, that was the first time Joe Wood Jr. actually kind of saw some tape on Deontay because he was with Pittsburgh for so many years and he never really had to deal with him in Dallas. So he came away very impressed. The route runner, the separation that Deontay gets on his route. So, yeah, you're going to have to game plan for Deontay Johnson acting like he's going to play because he's such a weapon on that Carolina offense where they don't really have a lot of weapons other than Chuba Hubbard. So they're going into this like Deontay's going to play. We're going to know more, obviously, by the end of the day tomorrow.
Hey, I'm curious because it's somebody that we talked about a lot. There was a lot of hype, at least catching the football. At what point will we see more out of Ben Sinnott?
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure you guys have seen this, but he's a tremendous blocker. There's been a couple of run plays this year where he really sealed off a gap and sealed off a linebacker or a cornerback to spring a McNichols or a Brian Robinson Jr. He's been very impressive from a blocking aspect. And you see a Zach Ertz, he's staying healthy, which has been a key element to this offense because Zach Ertz, you know, he's had a prone of injury history with him, and he's been tremendous. Staying healthy, he's been that security blanket. So I think this is what the plan is all along, where Sinnott is a rookie, still learning, still growing, watching, being a sponge to a veteran like a Zach Ertz. He's going to get his moments. But when he's out there, Ben Sinnott has been very impressive as a blocker. So I know the coaching staff has been very pleased with Ben Sinnott.
Well, somebody who's taking advantage of the opportunity is Noah Brown. He had 8 targets last week in the loss to the Ravens. Looks like he's really becoming the number two wideout behind Terry McLaurin.
Again, I mean, kudos to Adam Peters and that staff for doing their due diligence. Obviously, Noah Brown was a training camp casualty for the Houston Texans, but they brought him in and they gave him a chance, thinking he'd be a good fit in this offense. And you know what? It's paid off. He's developing a rapport with Jaden Daniels in terms of timing, ball placement, and he's been a great complement to a Terry McLaurin. You throw in a Luke McCaffrey. This offense is humming right now. I love what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. Some of the play calling, that flea flicker screen was unbelievable. It's a fun offense to watch. And how long it's been since we've said that, guys, in this town, watching a Washington Commanders offense on Sundays. This is a fun offense, and finally they're scoring points, pushing the ball down the field, some big explosive chunk plays. It's very fan-friendly in terms of enjoyable watching this offense go.
Well, no doubt about it. We talked about it earlier that the most points that they were scoring per game in basically the last decade was when Kirk was quarterback, and it was right around 22 points a game, and now they're 30 points a game. I mean, it's night and day from what we've been used to. Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys, have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, it's interesting with Sinnott. We talked about him so much in training camp, and they drafted him, and there were all these expectations. Mm-hmm. So I went to ESPN.com to punch up his stats.
We look for his game logs?
Well, even though it lists him tight end,
right?
They have it listed under defensive stats and a bunch of zeros.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, that's weird. Let me try a different site. And went to like Pro Football Reference. The same thing.
Here's what you need to look for. Something that tracks blocking. Because that's all he's done at this point. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't been integrated into the offense a bit more. But look, when your offense is humming along like it is at this point for the Commanders, you're scoring almost 30 points per game. You don't really need to tinker with it that much.
I'll bring him
along slowly.
I'll be honest with you, I can't concentrate. I'm just still delirious from the victory.
You're on a high.
You know what it is?
Euphoria.
Yeah.
You're experiencing euphoria right now.
I can't really. Yeah, it's like literally I need a cigarette. I don't smoke.
You're euphoria. I am doldrums.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I feel like, yeah.
Have the urge.
I mean, Evie, you do have, this is, you have a range of bragging rights here because you have a steak, which is like a manly thing, and then you have a silly thing like the PBJ.
PBJ, I took pride in, but not a lot. I mean, I'm just glad anytime you get a dub, you're happy.
Hey, you know
the
what? I may be Tony Bennett when it comes to food challenges.
Out.
I may just instantly retire. The way,
Cakes, I don't know how yours lost to Mar.
I don't know either.
Tailgate Ted pummeled Cakes.
Now these, I have to question everything. Yeah. I have to go back to the drawing, question everything.
No, yours was tough. So like maybe Tailgate Ted got an even tougher
part.
Really that
was shouldn't
hard.
Have been because they were all in the same package. All of those steaks.
I know, but if Drab cut a different section,
I know
he might have cut a rubbery section.
I can blame Drab. I could put it on Drab.
Again, I didn't cut the steak. Tailgate
okay, so
did.
Tailgate Ted.
He's a professional.
Tailgate Ted might have had, for some reason, might have a vendetta against
maybe
you.
Maybe he does. Maybe.
Have you beaten him in pickleball or something?
We've never played.
Maybe no, he's been in the show.
He hooked Cakes because Cakes cut his own, and they were like these disgusting chunks. and
maybe he did me a favor.
Nate made it look nice. And
I kind of liked yours, though.
Yeah,
I ranked yours second, but
my
I did rank EB's first.
My steak was the Carolina Panthers of steaks.
Cakes might be the unmanliest person at the radio station.
It's very possible.
Can't cook a steak, has a tiny smart car, doesn't have a callus on his hands.
Yeah, it's true. There's
can't change the thermostat.
There's a lot of mouthy evidence. It's a very good point.
But to lose to Mar.
Yeah, losing to Mar.
I know. I looked at Mars. I know. I looked at Mars. It makes me, honestly, if I stared at it long enough, I would puke.
Yeah.
Did you try it?
No. I can't even look at it.
I didn't even
I'm dead serious.
I saw you tweeted that you're upset because of your presentation, but presentation wasn't part of the taste test.
No. It's not just presentation. I eat my steak with crab cake.
Right.
That's how it should be served,
it's
with crab cake.
Turf.
Okay, but do you believe yours, if you took two pieces, would you be honest? I think yours tasted pretty good. I can't remember what I scored it, either a 7 or 8. But EB's tasted better.
Thank you.
Mine would have tasted better if you ate it with crab cake.
That's not the point of a taste test.
What?
So what of mine? And they hated everyone else's. It was about the steak. I'm telling you. By the way, I just changed my profile name to Steak King.
Steak King now? Okay. Yeah, you know what? You won. Nobody can argue. I can't argue. You're Steak King.
I think that might be my next t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think I just found my next
the
t-shirt.
The show can't end soon enough.
Got a picture
Hey, how do you put an emoji in your profile name? Do you know
I'm sure
that?
I know that.
Somebody help me.
What are you, 8?
Elon.
I like emojis.
You can see some pictures in the video at Sports Junkies Radio on Instagram and at Junks Radio on Twitter. When we come back, we'll make our picks, our official picks here on the Junkies, and give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Disturbed in concert. I asked some of the guys to try the other steaks.
Right.
Valdez tried EB's, and he tried to club it. It's too much seasoning, whatever.
I said, it's just a personal preference.
Yeah, personal preference. But if you go look at the pan where Mike Mars' steak rests, there's so much going on there. I don't know what
there.
He did.
He put every seasoning he could find.
Yeah.
Right.
The kitchen sink.
He put maplewood, bacon,
bourbon, any flavor.
You can't mix 19 flavors, man. You got to go with one sort of and get it.
You know, it's a learning experience. You know, I got 30 years. Mm-hmm. 30 years to perfect the steak. But, you know, I hand up. That's on me. It was a dog water steak.
And he admitted he tried your steak, EB, and he admitted yours was better than this.
Thank you.
And I know he didn't want to.
Thank you. Listen.
So I'll give you props. I tried him again. I'm just
still
eating a bunch of steak. I still like yours number one.
Thank you. And I don't even think they look
appetizing. I think Valdez's was close.
Like all cold and everything. They actually look gross. All of them.
Yeah. I actually think Cakes's was close. Like if I had three of them again. You and Valdez, I think, were similar. Yours was maybe a little tougher to chew.
Any steak that's remaining is only fit for consumption by dogs at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's been sitting out. It's cold. All of them are undercooked to an extent. You can't go bring those home and eat them. I hope Valdez isn't thinking about bringing his home and eating it for lunch.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. He's actually considering it. I do like that.
You didn't have any of my cream spinach.
I love cream spinach.
I know. I took a bite and I tossed it. I didn't even think about
it. Listen, I love it. It's fine. The whole thing just kind of made my stomach upset. Like, it's just too much raw meat and just like half-cooked steaks.
Well, the best was the dumpster coming right in the middle of the segment.
I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
So I think
Mar marinated his in trash juice.
And propane. Yeah.
I think Mar did he capture that on video?
Which,
I don't know if he did.
The truck backing in? I don't know. I think he was too busy slathering margarine all over his steak.
I think the full video is up on the Instagram page. All right, so let's make it official. I think we're all going to end up picking Washington against Carolina. I think that Andy Dalton could lead them to a couple touchdown passes in our touchdown parlay, which we will post this weekend or maybe later today on the IG page and on Twitter. I took Deontay Johnson catching a touchdown, and I know that he may be banged up. I think Dalton will throw a couple touchdown passes. It'll be kind of like last week where they put up 20. Say against Washington, they'll put up 23. I think Washington's going to put up 38. So you know what? 38-23.
I think it's going to be very similar to that. I think it's going to be similar to Carolina's result against the Falcons last week, where the Falcons, I believe, had 38. I don't know if Washington quite gets there. I'm going to have Washington 35, Carolina 20. Like a comfortable win, a cover, and one where you're like, okay, the better team won that game. Washington, clearly the better of the two teams. At home, Daryl Green retirement jersey ceremony at halftime. You cannot lose that game in front of all the Skins fans honoring Daryl Green. You just can't fumble the ball at home like that.
I just don't know that, honestly, it affects the play on the field. I don't think it really does.
I just think the vibe in the stadium is going to be so good. There won't be one Carolina Panther fan at Northwest Stadium.
Oh, that's not true.
There won't be a single person wearing black and blue in that stadium. Okay, I'm kidding.
All right, but how many
hyperbole?
Do you
think? 100.
I think you might be surprised.
100 Carolina Panthers fans. There can't be more than that.
This is the closest I don't know. I don't know. I'll go 31-23. Not as dominant.
That's a push. That's right on the number.
Not as dominant and convincing as I would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But a win, and the offense still does pretty well, but we still give up more points than we should. Chuba Hubbard or whatever chews us up, and it's a little infuriating.
The Panthers are projected right now to have the number two pick in the 2025 NFL draft. You can't drop a home game to that team if you have playoff aspirations, after starting 4-2, this team does.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just go same old Skins. If they lose this game, because then the swoon starts. This is about when the swoon typically starts, week six. This is, you know, if you've been a fan for the last 30 years, this is when the swoon starts. So if they want to be different, they got to win.
No swoon happening this weekend. It'll be swoon free.
I think the team's built different.
Yeah.
And I think Quinn's different. You know, Bobby Wagner, these veterans. They're pros. And Jaden is a pro. Jaden handles everything like a freaking 10-year vet.
Yep. Not fazed by anything.
I honestly don't know that I've ever seen. Like, even Peyton Manning's first year was a disaster. Troy Aikman's first year was a disaster. Mm-hmm. Now, C.J. Stroud played great last year, but he just looks so calm.
He's just composed. He handles everything.
It's not too big for him.
Yep.
So I think we're in good hands. But I still don't have faith in the defense.
Is anybody behind the glass? Anybody picking Carolina?
No.
Drabby might because he's so far behind in picks.
I think the Commander's going to beat up the Panthers like I did that steak. 41-13.
Oh, wow.
Smoking them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
41. That means a lot of Jaden in the end zone.
Right.
That means Jaden like three touchdown passes and probably at least one touchdown run.
Right.
If you get to a number starting with a 4.
You can't Porky Pig after a win against the Panthers,
no,
right?
No, you can't.
I'm thinking about Porky Pigging right now. Right. I'm being honest with you. I'm having a hard time locking
in. Keep those pants on, man.
You thought the whole time that steak number two was yours, too, right?
You guys kept saying overseason, overseason.
It was overseason.
Boy, I can't imagine
We're going to have to live with this for the next decade.
Steak King.
Steak
Grill
King. The Grill King.
All right, got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next. here on The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.